Well, good morning. I join also with Rick in welcoming you to this service this morning as we prepare to hear the word of our Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and in love, and strength to follow you on the path that you set before us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, a very familiar passage to all of you, I'm sure. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, the date was January 13th, 2014, and passengers loaded themselves onto Southwest Airlines Flight 4013. It was leaving from Chicago Midway Airport, and business people were heading home. Fun seekers were heading to gamble, and families were going to see relatives. Their destination was Branson, Missouri. And the flight took off reasonably on time for any flight that was going out of Chicago, and the flight was uneventful until the landing. It seemed to passengers who traveled this route frequently that the plane took a rather steep angle to the runway, and when it landed, the pilot applied the brakes in a rather aggressive manner. They thought that possibly the pilot had landed further down the runway than normal and had less braking distance as a result. In any case, everyone was safe, and the flight attendant came over the loudspeaker welcoming everyone to Branson. But then the plane just stayed at the end of the runway. It didn't move for a while, longer than normal for a small airport like Branson. And passengers again thought that maybe the taxiways weren't clear, and as the rules state, they stayed in their seats with their seatbelts fastened. But after a while, the pilot came across on the speaker system to say, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to tell you, we landed at the wrong airport." They had, in fact, landed at the M. Graham Clark County Airport, whose runway is half the length of Branson's airport and about 7 miles from their final destination. Now, we would imagine if any one of us were on that plane, you would not feel that you had made it to your destination yet. You'd still feel as though you had a little ways to go until you got to your destination. You know, life can be like that. It can feel like we've arrived when, in fact, we've got a long way to go. If we were honest with ourselves, we would admit that there have been many times when we thought that we had made it. If you're in high school, maybe it's a choice of a college. If you're in college, maybe it's a choice of a career. If you've chosen a career, maybe it's being hired to your first job, or if you're working, maybe it's getting to a certain position or a level of pay. If you're a parent, maybe it's getting your kids raised and out of the house. If your kids are out of the house, maybe your goal is retirement. And if it's retirement, maybe it's keeping healthy and solvent. And we say to ourselves along this continuum from time to time, "I think I've made it." But have we? Or maybe it's an even more elusive sense of thinking, "Well, maybe if I can just get to here, if I can just get to this place in my life, then I can relax. I can start doing something that I've always wanted to do." Are you there yet? I can remember it as though it was yesterday. In fact, it was almost 30 years ago. I was standing in the gym with all of my friends. Classmates were making all of those statements that juvenile boys say that they will do during graduation, which, of course, none of us did because our parents would have killed us. But we had done something. We were about to graduate from Paramus High School, and we thought that we had made it. 4 years later, I lined up again and walked and shook hands and received a piece of paper saying that I had graduated from college. And I can remember standing on the corner of the quad with every earthly possession that I owned packed into my Nissan Sentra, thinking that I had once again made it. College graduate, getting my first apartment, and I would begin a job on Monday. I felt it again when I was promoted to International Treasury Manager at Alamo Rent-A-Car, and Alamo was taken over by AutoNation, and all of a sudden, I was a manager in the only international division of a $17 billion organization. Had I made it? Or maybe when I put financings together to purchase another staffing company, propelling interim services just barely into the Fortune 500. Did I make it? Or when I decided to leave the corporate world and enter seminary and graduate again, or when I received my first call to West Caldwell, or when the merger was complete and I became the associate pastor here. Am I there yet? Or am I reaching for something that ever eludes me? In our lesson this morning, Jesus has taken his disciples onto the mountainside of the Sea of Galilee to teach them. And we find ourselves in the middle of this wonderful teaching, this longest concentrated teaching recorded in the Gospels called the Sermon on the Mount. And maybe Jesus is thinking of the water just to the south of him and how just a mere 30 miles downstream that the water begins to turn brackish as it approaches the Dead Sea. And thinking of that saltiness, he thinks of all the uses of salt, that wonderful preserver and enhancer of taste. Or maybe he's looking across the Sea of Galilee as darkness approaches. The Sea of Galilee, which at its widest point is a mere 13 miles wide, and on a hill not so far away. The lights of a city fill the horizon as the sun sets below the mountains. And as he looks across that sea, he sees that darkness cannot hide the light. And he creates a metaphor, likening these disciples, these men who follow him around, listening to his every word, hinging on his every breath. And he says, you who want to follow, are salt. You who want to follow me are light. And in the fullness of this metaphor, you who are followers are to be the salt to the entire earth and light to the entire world. And he goes on to warn that salt can lose its saltiness, and if it does so, it's useless. You can trample it under a foot. And light, of course, can be hid. But if you hide a light, really, what's the point? The point of salt is to preserve and enhance. The point of light is to guide. And you are to be salt for the earth and light for the world. And you are to preserve and enhance and guide this world in the ways of Jesus. And if we were to be honest with each other, that's a huge job and it feels kind of elusive. It feels as though it's a task that I might not be able to attain. It feels that I may never make it. How can I possibly reach my destination? But it really isn't that crazy of a statement by Jesus. Because what Jesus says is this task belongs to you. You in an individual sense and you in a corporate sense. You see, each one of us here has a part in being salt and light in this world. And he infers that together we have an obligation. Which makes me wonder, for you who sit in the pews here at the First Presbyterian Church at Caldwell, we who have a rich heritage of worship in such a beautiful place, I wonder if we realize how much more there is to do and whether the greatness of this teaching is exactly how elusive that it is. That maybe the great teaching here is in believing that we will never make it, in understanding that there is always more to do. You know, that's a danger, isn't it? It's a danger that we sometimes feel that the Christian life is about results, that somehow it's about the things that I've done. And now that I've done them, now I can stop. That maybe I graduated. There's nothing remaining for me to do. I've taught Sunday school. I went to Pittsburgh. I served two consecutive terms as an elder or a deacon. I've put in my time. I've arrived at my destination. But maybe it's not about arriving, but rather Jesus providing us a way to follow. It's a way of justice. It's a way of the cross. Follow me, he says. Take up your cross. Lose yourself and you will save your life. Helps me to understand when Paul makes comments like, for me, living is Christ and dying is gain. For if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Or when he says, I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering over the sacrifice and offering of your faith, And what Paul is telling us is that this life of following Christ is not something that is done in vain. And it never has an ending until God calls us home. It's ever elusive. You never retire. You keep going. Because when we live our lives in terms of getting to a destination, when we make our relationship with God something that has a finite end, when we think of service to God is just for a season, then there will come a time that we will look at ourselves and wonder whether or not we've made it. And I fear that if we think that we've made it, we might as well put our light under a bushel basket. That's not the way of following Christ. The Christian life is about following Christ. Life is this journey of doing justice, of loving mercy, of walking humbly with our God, loving God and loving neighbor. Last weekend, Rick and I sat down with the mission committee. And each month throughout this year, they are going to be highlighting different missions and providing opportunities for the congregation to get involved. Maybe you could spend a few hours on a Saturday serving soup at the soup kitchen, or maybe you would like to join us to put lunches together. Or maybe you'd be interested in going to Pittsburgh and being an adult advisor on the Pittsburgh Project. Or maybe you still feel the call, or you're questioning whether or not God is calling you to become a Stephen minister. There's still time. Or maybe you want to become a Sunday school teacher. The reality is there are so many places that you can serve. And who knows, there may be other opportunities that we haven't even started. Rick and I were talking last week, and we were wondering if there might be somebody who would be willing and interested in committing to driving the new church van over to Crane's Mill each Sunday to pick up residents there and bring them here for church. Or maybe somebody would want to serve on a committee that's being formed among the faith communities in this area regarding helping each other if a disaster hits this area again. Or maybe you want to get involved in some of the ideas that Barb is putting together with the Green Faith Initiative. Who knows where it will all take you, but there's no such thing as arriving. You may have heard the story of J. Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was a missionary in China in the 19th century, and he founded the China Inland Mission. And it became the center of Protestant missions in China. And after 45 years in China, Hudson Taylor returned home to England, his native country. And when he landed in Southampton, he realized he was on the same ship as Teddy Roosevelt. And when the ship docked, there was a band waiting for Teddy Roosevelt, and they played music, and the crowd cheered for Teddy, and there was confetti and streamers and applause, and Teddy Roosevelt was carried off on the shoulders of his admirers. And after all the crowds had dispersed, Hudson Taylor found himself alone on the docks. And the committee that was supposed to meet him never arrived. And he put down his suitcase, and he sat there alone. I didn't expect a band or a cheering mob, he thought. But after 45 years of service, there should have been someone here to welcome me home. And he sat, and he sulked. Then Hudson Taylor wrote in his diary, "But then my wife talked to me. Hudson," she said, "you're not home yet. Are you there yet? First Presbyterian Church at Caldwell. Are you there yet? Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Amen."